We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook at Social Capital with Lori Hybe. All links mentioned will be found in the show notes. This week's guest is Sarah Stever. Sarah is the president of Paulson Ag in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, with a background in digital services, web development, and graphic design. She is a graduate of the University of South Dakota with a BFA in art and an agri-marketing certificate from Purdue College of Agribusiness. She is on the National Agri-Marketing Association Executive Board and volunteers her time at her church and local high school. Sarah and her husband have two children and operate a bed and breakfast in rural Sioux Falls. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Lori. Thanks for having me on. Excited to be here.
I am excited for this conversation, especially since your background is in digital. But you have a heavy focus on the agricultural space. So what keeps you excited about the industry that you're in right now?
Sure. And that's a really good question, because most people think of agriculture and they don't see the side of it that I think we see, that we are in the trenches. I think to think about any industry that you're in, you need to kind of climb up as high as you can. Out of the trenches, because we get really bogged down, I think, in the day-to-day of whatever we do and whatever industry we're in. And then take a look down and see what is the core of what we're doing and why we're doing this and why we're getting up every morning. And in our industry, we play a small part of changing the world, essentially, for all the agribusinesses that we work with. And those people actually help feed the world. So they make the world a more secure place by providing nutrition and food and fiber. And our role then is to support and grow those businesses. And if I can remind myself of that every day, that I don't get nearly as bogged down in the day-to-day workings of actually running an agency and supporting our clients.
It's a good perspective, the 10,000 foot view, right?
Yeah, it's not always easy to take that.
No, it's not.
Sure. And I learned a lesson from someone that I heard that speak at a conference, and he said, what gave me that perspective is the world has a lot of problems with food, which is true. And I think that's very true in this country. We have a lot of problems because we have food. But if you don't have food, you have one problem. And so that really gelled for me, kind of our role in a way, of being the marketers that support the agribusinesses that actually give us the luxury of having essentially a lot of problems with food. So a good reminder.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Nice and insightful for sure. So what resources do you like for staying relevant?
Well, of course, I would have to say there are a lot of really great podcasts out there, and you and I are super familiar with Social Capital, of course, but also I would say Build a Better Agency, Onward Nation. I like MozPod. I really have found that one of the ways that I can actually stand being on a treadmill is by listening to podcasts, which really helps me out. And I think we all have a lot of digital resources that we take in. I find that all of the media posts, e-newsletters that come out are really good information on staying current, because they're pretty timely and they show up every day. And then, of course, a myriad of books and sites like Social Media Examiner. And it does get more and more challenging, I would say, to keep up with all the stuff that's happening in the digital world, for sure. But you just have to set aside time and hope that you can stay relevant by investing that time, essentially. I don't know about you, but I try to spend at least an hour or two every day taking in some new form of information, and I still don't feel like I keep up. So
yeah,
it's a big deal.
Giving the headlines at the very least. And then if you see a some trends happening in the headlines, kind of diving a little deeper into that topic. At least that's my approach to staying ahead of it.
Absolutely. And you jumped on, sometimes you jumped on that rabbit hole and it's like, oh, wow, where'd that hour go?
Yeah.
Got to get productive here.
It is hard to do, but it is very important because especially in our space, if we're not ahead of the game, we're behind it. And that's the last place you want to be is behind.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this podcast here, the focus is on networking, and I'm sure you're aware if you're listening to the episodes. My goal is to remove the fear and anxiety that people have when it comes to that word networking. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've got?
Sure. And I've got a couple of them. And I think that's really interesting that the positioning of trying to remove the fear of it, because I think that's so true and it really prevents us from moving forward. But I'll tell you a couple of stories. One was a story where I learned a lot about networking, and I was at a fundraising golf tournament, and I pulled up in my golf cart, and the gal handing out water was so, she was so much more friendly than anybody else that had been working that particular tournament. And it was an industry tournament. And so it was, you know, everyone was having a good time. And I just started visiting with her, and she was very probing, but in a nice way, with a lot of questions. And I ended up finding out that she had a daughter in the industry who was graduating college. And the ultimate upshot of that was that we ended up hiring that young lady, and she's actually been at our agency for almost 6 years now.
Wow.
A very key person and a great team member. And it was, you know, in large part because that person took a seemingly innocuous opportunity and turned it into, you know, something pretty meaningful for both of us. So that was a great lesson for me to not ever miss an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And the second story. So fast forward to about 6 months ago, and I was at an industry event and had been walking a trade show all day and was pretty tired, and was with one of my coworkers, and we were just kind of looking forward to resting for the rest of the evening. And we're on the elevator, and I noticed a group of people that all had logo shirts on, as people often do at trade shows. And they were one of the vendors that I was going to go talk to the next day. And so I just took the opportunity to strike up a conversation with them while we, you know, went up about 10 floors in an elevator. And ultimately, because of that conversation, the next day found the very same person I had been joking around with, and just had another chance to solidify the relationship a little bit more. And then came back around a little bit later in the trade show and spoke to that person again, and ultimately had a door open because of that would not have, because of those conversations. That person actually followed up and made sure that the right people got my materials, which oftentimes happens in our industry. You don't get your materials in front of the right person, they can't actually do anything for you. So that was, I guess, really helpful to know that I didn't miss that opportunity on the elevator of all places, because I would not have met that right person. So taking advantage of every one of those opportunities that you have, because you just don't know how it's going to impact your business or your life.
So do you believe that it was the elevator ride that kind of closed that deal?
I absolutely believe it was, because it was like a chance to, you know, we were all laughing by the time we got off the elevator. So it was a positive experience. And if I would have just stared at the floor, and then the next day I would have had to go to the booth essentially and meet that person, and like, wow, what a lump. She wasn't even friendly, you know? I mean, it really would have been, I think, a missed opportunity. And a lot of times if you're tired or if you just don't feel like you're on your game, it's really easy to just like, oh, I want to duck out and not go to this event, not pick up the phone, not send that email, you know, all those things, those touch points that we know are so important in our industry, because at the end of the day, it is a relationship industry.
Oh, absolutely. Well, business is all about relationships. And both the stories you shared are fantastic. I love the just, you know, nonchalant golf outing fundraiser event, and, you know, through the waves of networking, you found a nice stable employee for your team. 6 years. That's starting to become unheard of nowadays, I feel like, unfortunately.
Yeah. Very true. Very, very true.
Nice. And then an elevator ride turned into a client.
You honestly just never know. You just never know.
So you're
always.
You're part of a number of different organizations. I know you've got clients all across the country and your network's fairly extensive. How do you stay in front of or best nurture your network?
Well, I think there's a couple different ways. Well, there's a lot of different ways that we do it, and it does require a tremendous amount of effort, part of which is a lot of fun, but part of which is just plain old block and tackle networking. And we produce a lot of content on our website, and we push that out, and we've worked hard to build, you know, a list of a few thousand people that are pretty relevant to us. And that ranges everything from, you know, kids in college that I meet at events all the way up to prospects and in between there. But it's a pretty good list that we've built up over just about 10 years now, as I look back on it. But that really consistent building content that's meaningful. And I'm, you know, we work really hard and we try to cull stories that, you know, when we have our editorial meeting, we have cull stories that we don't think are actually going to be relevant to our clients. And we work in that way. And so that gets us out in front of the people that are the known universe to us. And then there's that unknown universe that's out there, and that we try to do through either having, you know, a pretty targeted list and going to meet those people where we can find them, which is typically at trade shows, or being part of our National Agri Marketing Association. That's actually a really nice thing because it's kind of got a built-in list of prospects and relationships that we can build. And the way our industry works, there are publications that are part of our industry, and then there are the agribusinesses or the clients that are part of the industry, and then there are the agencies that are part of the industry. And so the three-legged stool there, these agri-marketing events are where we all get together and meet each other and network. And it's a pretty friendly group, even though we're competitors in some cases. But that's probably one of the best ways we're able to stay in front of our community. So it's a twofold. You know, it's really got to be partly digital, partly that content strategy, and then really no substitute for just showing up in person and either walking that trade show floor or getting a speaking engagement, or, you know, just trying to stay in front of people and essentially volunteer your time.
Yeah.
And I would say that I see a lot of young people who I feel like miss opportunities because they aren't willing to invest that time outside of work to join leadership opportunities as they come along. And when you do get some people who are willing to join, it's so valuable. And I know from being in senior leadership in NAMA, in my National Ag Marketing Association, oh man, those people are so valuable, and they just move up the chain so quickly and build their networks so fast because they're willing to put in that extra effort. It really is kind of what it takes.
Yes. It takes time, right? And hard work.
Oh, yeah. It does take time. Both the digital side really does take a commitment. And that, man, is such a marathon because you have got to keep generating that content. And, well, you know, Lori, I see your stuff everywhere. You're a machine. just doing a great job of being consistent and having a voice that's relevant.
Well, thank you.
Videos out there. So kudos.
Well, I appreciate that. What's funny is I was just thinking I need to be doing more stuff. It's good to hear that. That you know, someone's doing something right somewhere. But yeah, it does take time, and it's all about getting in front of your audience, regardless, like you said, if it's digital or that in person. And I'll circle back to that question a little bit. What advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Well, I think one of the most important ways to do that in the very beginning is to not only be intentional, and of course open to circumstance as they come along, but you need to understand why you're doing that. Like, what is the goal of this? And once you have kind of identified, am I doing this because I want to get a new job? Am I doing this because I'm trying, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm trying to grow my business? Or am I just looking at getting better at what I do and I need, you know, peers or mentors? And then once you've kind of identified what that is, and to a certain extent, you can always look for those people. You can try to find them on LinkedIn. You can find them among your colleagues. You can join industry organizations and you can meet people that way. And if you're young in your career, you know, a mentor may be a really, really good idea. And then the next step up from a mentor is possibly a sponsor. And a sponsor sometimes can actually help you hit a few rungs on the ladder if you're in a large organization. So that's somebody that's a little bit different than a mentor. If you understand that that's what you need, and if what you're looking to do is just get better at what you do, there's a ton of peer networks that are out there, or just groups of people that get together and talk about, you know, how to be better at SEO or how to be better at social or how to, you know, be better at growing your agency, whatever the business is that you're in. But I think it really kind of boils down to be focused and understand why you're doing it in the first place, because otherwise it can just be so overwhelming. I think, and it doesn't hurt to have referrals. You know, if you're courageous enough, if you meet someone and you feel like you, that they know a lot of people don't, you know, go ahead and ask to be introduced to someone else. I think people actually feel like, people like to feel like they're a connector. I think that's actually kind of a fun thing for another human being to do, is to help someone out. But in all those cases, I think it's really important to be genuine about, you know, why you're doing what you're doing, and be careful not to take in too much territory, because it isn't difficult to get yourself a little bit overwhelmed and not be able to nurture those relationships in a way that they deserve.
Well, yeah, that goes back to that previous one, is you can't, it's a balance of going wide and going deep, right, in your network, and you can't
exactly
connect with everyone, but you want to make sure you're strategic and focused on who you want to connect with. Like how you broke that out. And I've not heard of the sponsor approach before. I understand the mentorships, but the sponsorships was that interesting, and it makes sense, especially individuals in larger organizations.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you're a young person and you've got high potential, in fact, I've heard them even called, if you're reading Harvard Business Review, they'll call them high potentials. If you're identified as that, you know, you can ask for that, you know, ask for help, not just guidance and advice, but I literally need help. Who do I need to meet? What would be a good path for me? What's more education I might need and benefit from? But you really got to be selective in who that sponsor would be.
Cool. I'm definitely going to be looking into that, just to share more information on that, especially with the students that I teach, because I think that's a really interesting approach. All right. So we kind of started talking about this, but digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Like you could narrow it down to one, wouldn't that
right?
be awesome? You shouldn't have to do both. And I know maybe we covered this ground already, but I think there's something really nice about the broad reach of digital. You know, that blog post you put out there has a way to reach a lot of people, and then they can kind of self-select and find you. You know, you don't have to follow up necessarily on who all read your blog post. They're more likely, I think, to find you. But you do need to still have that proactive layer of activity where you are reaching out. And even if it's in the digital way, you know, I think LinkedIn emails are great, as long as you're not abusing it too much. But it also isn't going to be enough necessarily to close that deal if that's what you're looking to do. So it's got to be both for sure. And I'd say starting out digital is a great way to do it, because establishing a brand and what you're about, that can be kind of a magnetic thing to attract people and attract the right people. Again, because they self-select into that. I say both. You're going to have to do both.
I agree 100%. I mean, you have to put in the FaceTime. And I see sometimes that you put in the FaceTime and things move faster. But at the same time, like you said, you get a broader reach in the digital space. It's that wide versus deep again, right?
Yeah, and there's, you know, at some point the value proposition isn't there to be taking plane flights everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good to do that vetting process either digitally or over the phone, you know, to make sure. But it's really hard to do business with someone if you haven't had a chance to sit down across the table from them and really meet them. And so much of what we do, like it or not, is chemistry based. And if you don't have good chemistry with someone, it's, you know, a lot of times it isn't going to work out well in the end.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of truth to that. I mean, they say that, you know, people buy from those they know, like, and trust, and all of that is the like you and trust you is the chemistry part, yeah. Right?
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly right. Yeah, if you could bottle that up and sell that, we would not be talking.
I don't have that secret recipe anywhere.
Me either.
Sarah, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you just tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
That is such an interesting question. And it was interesting to take a little time travel back to those days. I was so painfully shy. I really, really struggled with shyness my whole young life. And even through college, I started to work on it then just because I was kind of forced to, you know, I mean, once you get out into the business world, you're going to have job interviews and things like that. But I think overcoming that was pretty, if I could figure out the ways to overcome that more quickly, that's what I would attempt to do, because that really can prevent you from building that network. And my mom gave me some really great advice that had been passed on to her by her mother-in-law. And she was struggling to make, she was a pastor's wife, and she was struggling with the, you know, trying to get the congregation to like her. And my mother, her mother-in-law said, you know, if you want friends, you have to be friendly. And so it's always stuck with me. I was like, wow, I can be friendly. I don't have to be amazing. I don't have to be articulate. I don't have to be anything else, but I can be friendly. And I think to be friendly, you have to be non-judgmental. And that sometimes can be kind of a trick. But I will tell you, there is 100% chance that you do not know what someone is going through when you meet them. So being non-judgmental, taking that off the table, even if the person seems rude, if they just seem, whatever it is about them that you think, oh, I cannot make a connection with this person at all. Well, you know, you really don't know what that person is going through. I remember all the times when I was just absolutely paralyzed by shyness, when I'm sure it came off as something less than, or something less pleasant
sure,
I think, than what it was. I was, you know, stuck up comes to mind in high school for sure. But for me, it was just really this debilitating shyness I was trying to overcome. So I try to remember that whenever I'm getting in, you know, to a place where I need to get out and do my networking. If I would have had that advice when I was a lot younger, I think I would have been gotten a lot further faster, for sure.
I really like that statement, the quote of, if you want friends, you have to be friendly. It's so simple, right?
Yeah, it is. And I have a colleague that says something I think is really interesting. He always says, hey, you know, I get along with everyone, so if you don't like me, it's on you. That always makes me laugh whenever I think of that, because he is like that. Everybody does like him. And I just think that's funny that, you know what, it isn't me, it's you. So, but I would say being non-judgmental goes a long way into building relationships, because you never know where people are coming from and what kind of a day they had. And sometimes it's just small, and sometimes it's pretty massive. But if you can open yourself up to people, you'll never regret
that.
That's
very true. And the actions that, you know, the days that people are having, it's all about the perspectives that they've and the experiences that they've had. So even though it may be the biggest thing to them, but it sounds so minute to you, it's because that's all they have experience having. And I think a lot of people don't think about that. They're only comparing the activity to their own experiences.
Yeah. Yep. You're exactly right.
Oh, that's really, exactly right. Really good information. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you can do it within the 6th degree?
Well, so I really wanted to meet Rohit Bhargava, and then Drew brought him to the AMI meeting in Austin. So I got to check that off the list. And I think sometimes we miss out on some really great people. that aren't maybe all that high profile. Like, who wouldn't want to meet Elon Musk? And I suppose I could try to do that. I'm just not sure it would get me anywhere. And there's a professor that's actually from Oxford, and I've listened to several of his lectures, and his name is Daniel Robinson. I would love to meet that guy, because he's a philosopher and he's really fascinating, but that would accomplish almost zero for me in my life, because he's just not connected to the...
That's okay.
Oh, sorry about that. Might have to be a little bit. Intercom, forgot about that. So I'd like to maybe meet this professor from Oxford named Daniel Robinson, but it really wouldn't achieve anything for me in terms of business. So I would say, could I meet the people that I need and 6 degrees of separation? Most of the time, I don't even know the people I should be meeting until I get myself in the right situation. You're like, oh my goodness. I'll give you an example. I was at a women in agribusiness conference a couple years back, and I was so impressed by one of the speakers. And she was the president of animal nutrition at Cargill, which is like a multi-billion dollar company. And she didn't even have much of a background in agriculture, but she was just so genuine and welcoming. I thought, I absolutely have to meet this person. So I did. I just went up to her and introduced myself to her. And she gave me, a couple weeks later, she gave me about an hour of her time for me to go and interview her and record her on the podcast. And I thought, wow, that was like 0 degrees of separation. Sometimes you just cut through all of that and ask people, and they'll actually be really nice and accommodate you. It's amazing.
Well, you threw all your shyness and fear out the door to do that, didn't you?
Yeah, sure, my face was red the whole time, and I was sweating profusely and mortified. But
it was a positive outcome at the end of the day.
It was a positive outcome, absolutely. Yeah. Cool.
And actually, Rohit is going to be on my podcast probably in, I want to say, 2 months out.
That's great. That will be an awesome podcast. Everybody tune back in.
Yes, I'm very excited to record that one.
He is so bright and such a fascinating and genuine person. Lovely. He's just super easy to be around and great conversations.
Totally. Absolutely. Yep. Okay, so Sarah, we are individuals that require lots and lots of new knowledge, right? reading books, you're listening to podcasts, audiobooks. What are you reading right now? What kind of info are you taking in?
Well, I'm a reading old school guy, and everybody who is in any form of management or an executive at all should be reading Peter Drucker. And the book is The Effective Executive, and it's not a very long book. And the upshot of it is really understanding that you need to focus on getting the right things done and how to understand as an executive what the right things are for you to be focusing on. And that can have many different facets, because anyone who works in the information industry is really an executive. But it's a great little book. And like I said, it doesn't take a real long time to read. And then I'm trying to get through Keeping Up with Quants, which is a really good book on how lay people can understand the world of data and visualization and data modeling and hypotheses, things like that. That's something that I've had to stop start quite a bit, because it's a slog, but it's, for the industry that we all work in, I think it's kind of an important thing for us to all understand.
So sure. That's
those are my two recommendations.
Good. I'm definitely intrigued by The Effective Executive. I don't know about this.
Keeping Up with Quants.
Keeping Up with Quants. I have a hard time. That might be one, like an audio book that I just kind of listen to in the background to capture the good snippets.
Hopefully you'll pick it up subliminally, right?
Yep.
Subconscious and help you.
There you go. When I'm sleeping, what is that? There's a word for that, right?
Yeah.
Listening to it when you're sleeping.
That's right.
Sarah, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, golly, I don't know if I got anything else that's really very major, but I would say I don't feel like there's any one solution to being good at networking. But you just got to work at keeping your visibility up there, both online and in person. And I would say just take opportunities, be a joiner, be a contributor, and I think most importantly, be a friend.
I like that. Be a be a joiner, be a contributor, and be a friend. It's that simple, right?
It sounds like it should be. As long as you've got enough time, it absolutely is.
That's time is the important factor there.
It sure is.
All right, Sarah, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Well, you can find me just by good old-fashioned email, which is sarah@paulson.ag, or you can find me at LinkedIn, or you can drive to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and come and see me. I'll take you to lunch. It'll be awesome fun.
Love
to hear from your audience.
Cool. Well, we will include all of that information in the show notes. Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to connect with us today.
Absolutely. It's nice to have a chance to be in front of your audience, and always nice to talk to you, Lori.
You as well. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Sarah Stever for taking time to connect with us today. We'll see you all next week with another great guest of Social Capital.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.